looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Well, everyone, there is no escaping some sort of grief or pain throughout our lifetime, but there is a way to be more comfortable, to better handle painful situations with a deeper understanding, making the recovery and healing process much more bearable. A personal story as I go into this is that for me, I was give or take 4 years old when I was introduced to preparing for the end of life on a daily basis. My mom at that time became even more ill than she had ever been most of her life. So ambulances and hospitals and doctors and religion and heaven were a common thing in our household. And I have to share that heaven kind of freaked me out. It wasn't a happy thought to me because I kept thinking that how would I ever find everybody if everybody loved everybody equally? I was like, well, you're not going to love me like your daughter. So there is a lot of fear. And that's what I want to share with everybody. It wasn't that I wasn't scared or didn't freak out or, you know, didn't understand. I was certainly helped along with that. But what the difference was I had the support, I had guidance, I had love, and I had information given to me the whole way through. So that whole time, you know, thinking about my mom's passing every single day, or any other loved one, actually, I mean, we lost family pets and family and stuff, but it was, I was able to be at peace a little more and know who to go to and talk to if I needed anything. And the biggest thing was, this was at any age, 4 years old, 20 years old, all these things. So that's why I'm extra grateful for the guest that we do have today. She's a lovely soul. She's a wonderful person. And I want to just share a little bit about her with all of you, just so you understand why she's actually pretty much the most perfect person to talk about what she's talking about, because she's gone through so much. So I'm going to introduce you to her. Her name is Yvonne Heath. And I love her last name because she's only one letter away from health. She's a registered nurse since 1988. Yvonne has worked in Louisiana, Texas, New York State, and Ontario, having experience in both management and nursing in the trenches from, obstetrics and emergency to chemotherapy, hospice care, and she offers a unique perspective. Disheartened by our society's reluctance to talk about, plan, and prepare for grief, she chose to blaze a new career path at age 50. Goodness, and she sounds like she's 20. My goodness, I wish to hear her voice. Yvonne not only authored her first book, Love Your Life to Death, but also became an inspirational speaker, television host, radio guest, like today, and consultant. Yvonne's new purpose, to empower compassionate professionals and communities to just show up, to live life to the fullest, learn to grieve and support others, and to have the talk about end of life long before it arrives and diffuse that fear. Yvonne delivers her message with heart and humor because it's already serious enough. Yvonne is also too excited to share her latest venture, and I love this. It's called it's a movement, I Just Showed Up. It's a Just Show campaign. She teaches people of all ages to show up for themselves and others. So they share, they are empowered and resilient when grief arises. So Yvonne, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I am honored to be on your show today.
Yeah, thank you. And I was honored to read your book. Oh my gosh, Love Your Life to Death. It's like Your Life to Death.
Love Your Life to Death.
I want everybody to hear that, because the subtitle to that is How to Plan and Prepare for End of Life So You Can Live Fully Now. So that's what today, even I think you and I would love, we'll focus on everything, but it's not just about that getting through grief, but if we learn to prepare and live now, then it's so much easier when that time comes.
Absolutely, Lisa. And the thing I hear more than ever from everyone is, you know, why should I talk about grief and end of life when everything's going well in my life? And I say, I get it and I understand, but I promise you that you will want to talk about it much less when it actually arrives and you have grief and sorrow and anxiety and fear and confusion. You know, you can't have logical conversations when all those other emotions are in the way. We just need to normalize these conversations.
I love that you brought the word confusion, because you're right. We don't know how somebody is going to be taken from us, so to speak.
No.
And so we could be really confused if we don't understand what that is. We talk a lot about the talk. What would you say is the talk, if we had to just like give a definition of it?
Oh, the talk is anything we don't really want to talk about, right? And I will tell you right now, and I'm laughing at myself as we are having this conversation, because the talk that many of us have had to have is about puberty with our children. And here I had we have twins who just turned 13, a boy and a girl, Jaden and Tanner. And a couple of years ago, you know, Jaden kept saying, oh, Mom, I'm having some stomach pain. And, you know, here's the intelligent nurse. Oh, well, you know, do you need to go to the bathroom? And I wonder, oh, it's fine. And suddenly it dawned on me. Somebody said, oh, well, you know, what about, you know, her period, puberty, whatever. And I got all dizzy and I was like, I just wanted to pass out. And I'm like, no, she's just young. And I Googled it and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, this actually could be what we're talking about. And so I had to have the talk with my daughter, and I was mortified, and I was sweating, and I was nervous. But here's the thing. You know, at first, well, you should have seen her reaction. She said,
oh,
I'm
God.
Going to do what? How often? Every month? For how long? And I thought, oh, God, I'm so sorry to tell you this. But imagine waiting until it arrives.
Yes.
Right? Think about that. I diffused so much of her fear before it arrives. And we're not even there yet, but she's got her little emergency kit. She knows all the language. She understands what's going to happen and why. So imagine if I waited until that day. We don't wait. We plan everything, weddings, big parties, and, you know, all everything, graduations. And yet things like, you know, the possibility of chronic illness or end of life, we should wait until it arrives to start planning.
Do you think it's because we're thinking we could escape it? Like, oh, that won't happen to me.
You know, it's not going to happen for a long time. We don't have to worry about that yet, which, you know, here's, I'm like the tough love person, right? Oh, let's get Yvonne. She'll talk about this stuff. That's why I said, oh yeah, let's get her, because here's the tough love, everyone. We do not all die of old age. And we do not always get a warning. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we were a culture that talked about planned and prepared, normalized these conversations, and just like you, Lisa, you were a four-year-old girl who had to face these conversations and the possibility of your mom dying. And so those conversations were just a part of life. And if we normalized and we treated them as the matter facts of life, such as everything that lives dies. Everything that lives dies. None of us know how long we're here. A full life doesn't mean you live till you're 99. I tell people I'm 53, and thanks for saying I sound young. That's what happens when you snag a young paramedic who's 13 and a half years younger than you, and you decide to come to 40. You have to be young. You know,
I saw poke his head up on Facebook there, so that was a wonderful, lovely support. And that's a big thing, too. So do you, when you met Jordy, did you kind of say, hey, guess what? By the way, we're going to be talking about death a lot, and it's going to be just comfortable.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a paramedic, so that kind
that's
of
right.
helps a little bit, yes. But
yes.
No, it was just a little innocent flirting in Emerge, and I was very young, so I didn't think it would go anywhere, and here we are. This whole new career of mine is all a surprise. If you would have told me 5 years ago I would have written a book and become an inspirational speaker and did our radio and television, I would have just said, oh, I'm sorry, you have the wrong person. I'm a chemotherapy nurse. But here's the thing, I could no longer ignore the inner voice inside of me that was just saying, this, we need to, you know, address our death phobia. We need to address our grief phobia. We need to empower people and create resilience. We have to grieve. Divorce, diagnosis, job loss, mental health issues, whatever you are facing, you know, whatever makes your heart ache is grief. But there isn't anywhere where we talk about it before it arrives. And we need to normalize these conversations in our families, in our schools, in our workplace. You know, think about when somebody, their spouse dies and they come back to work and it's like, oh gosh, you know, there's Joe. This is so awkward. It's so uncomfortable. He's back. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Imagine if we knew how to create a soft landing for Joe and we knew how to just show up. And if we could say, Joe, I don't know what to say, but I'm here and I care. Here's your favorite cappuccino. You can't fix it. Mm-hmm. Just be okay with being vulnerable and just showing up.
You know what, that's one thing that's huge. So it's not about sometimes our own loss. It's about when we run into someone else who has, you know, 2 weeks ago we had a guest on, Pamela LaRocca, and she was sharing about infant loss and losing your child. And you know, it's uncomfortable ourselves to meet other people. What about the other people running into that person with the loss? And I just remember, I remember when my aunt passed in it. Her and her husband, after, you know, 60 years of being together, still in love, still all that, I thought I knew what to say. I was quite comfortable. But the words that came out of my mouth when I saw my uncle, I wanted to hit my forehead and went, what did you just say? Because what I said was, you look really good. I didn't know what else. I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes, but, exactly. And then I think, oh. So then I became really, I was never uncomfortable. When I said that, I suddenly felt so embarrassed and so silly that I thought, I don't even know what to do. Why did I say that? And then so there's this weird, awkward moment. And then the next person I saw, and I thought, gosh, what do, and then you just reminded us all, you just show up. It's just by being there.
And lead with your heart, and there is no magic answer, and you can't fix it. And, you know, we have to allow our humanness, right, and be able to forgive ourselves for those little blunders. And, you know, going back to your uncle and saying, did you hear what I just said? That was really ridiculous. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. I was just uncomfortable because I wanted to support you, and I didn't know what to say. You know, isn't it wonderful if we have to give ourselves a break? You know, we're so uncomfortable with all of this, and you know, the funny thing is people avoid having these conversations, and if they don't know what to do or say, or they can't fix it, they avoid. And the funny thing is, I say to people, well, how do we get more comfortable or better at anything? We practice.
Right.
So, you know, if you avoid this at all costs, you're never going to get comfortable. But here's the thing I say also, it's never comfortable. Just be okay with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. Absolutely. It's uncomfortable. I'm often uncomfortable.
And, you know, and that's just because everything seems, it's not so new, you're right, it's just never a pleasant thing. And I was going to ask you about this, because you do have lots of tips and toolkits and stuff, like pillars in the book, which we'll discuss. But the one thing I was going to share is that, you know, I definitely faced a lot of death all the time and was able to comfortably get through it. But it was because I was able to process it with people around me who helped me to grieve through it. Like, you're not going to not grieve. We're not saying, hey, read your book and you're never going to grieve. You're going to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
You offer ways. And by you sharing over 20 years with people who are dying, literally every day, and all the stories that you share in the book, you are able to get that little gold nugget of talking to them and saying, what do you want?
That's right. That's right. And it's funny because I say to people, you need to forget the golden rule, you know, when we say treat people as you want to be treated. And everyone looks at, I say that in my presentations, and they say, oh, what do you mean? Forget the golden rule. We've been holding on to the golden rule forever. Are you kidding? I say, no, no. Don't treat people as you want to be treated. Treat them as they want to be treated.
Yeah.
Right? I like when I'm grieving and I understand myself more and more, I need to bawl my eyes out. I need to cry. I love to hug. I need to go walk in nature. So if somebody comes to me and they think, oh, Yvonne, you know, she's grieving. She probably needs to go somewhere where there's a lot of people and, you know, have a lot of support. But no, I'm a loner. I want to go be in nature. You see, we have to respect how people grieve and what they need, not what we think they need. But we can also just do our best, right, and lead with our hearts. That's what I just say. Lead with your heart and just show up. And here's the other funny thing I say to people. Okay, are you ready? Here's the answer when you don't know what to do or say. Get your pen out. Ask.
Wow.
Ask.
What do you want
ask.
To do?
Yeah. Ask the people around the person who's grieving. You know, if you ask their support, you can support the supporters. You know, there's always something you can do. Always something you can do.
You know, it's when you talk about asking, I remember my sister's really good at this. She's actually a personal support worker now, so she's really quite comfortable of asking and showing up. But in my mom's passing, I'm not a super touchy-feely person with my animals. But and so when my sister asked my mom, what can I do for you? And she said, could you just rub my feet? I see that she knows I would not have been the person to ask that. But then I can ask my sister, would you like me to get you a cup of tea while you rub mom's feet, you know?
Exactly. And I always say, you know, it's better to do something than to do nothing. And here's the other big piece is when people are grieving, you know, their bills still need to be paid. Their garbage still needs to go out. Their dog wants to be walked. You go and support them in that way. Go cut their grass, you know, because grief doesn't care. If you're grieving and you need some time, all the other stuff, life carries on around you, doesn't it? And that's often the piece that you are really struggling with. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go and, you know, do this or drive this person here. Drive their kids to soccer. Like, just do something. Do something.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up too, because those are things, like, you're right. They're still needing to be done, and that really takes lightens the load of their challenges with that. We have 1 minute before going to commercial, but the things I want to highlight when we come back, and I have a question for you, and that's going to be, we see deaths. We see killings, I should say, you know, on the news. We hear about what's going on in the country. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, the difference in grief and grieving those versus loved ones and friends when we come back, okay?
Okay, sure.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And thank you again, everyone who has joined us today, as it maybe hopefully means that you're here for a little bit of comfort and support through any kind of grief that you're dealing with. We're here with Yvonne Heath, and she is the author of Love Your Life to Death, and this is How to Plan and Prepare for the End of Life so You Can Live It Fully Now. Now, I have an interesting question. I didn't even prepare this question. This is a feeling. I'm feeling the listeners. I'm feeling what's going on, Yvonne. And when we, so I value my life. I love my life, and I'm appreciative. And sometimes I'll go on Facebook, or if the news happens to be on somewhere, because I choose not to watch it. But I'm very aware that there are deaths and killings and stuff going on, and I can't. Well, maybe I can. First of all, my question is, how do I prepare for sudden exposure to, like, oh my God, or animals, things that you suddenly get to hear about something that's end of the life for an animal or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a lot of anger wrapped up in that, grief and blame and separation. So you have these great pillars that we're going to go through later, but can we prepare for that?
Well, that's a really tough one, of course, and those are the biggest challenges. And that's why, I've sort of taken on planning for end of life, because death is, one of the greatest griefs that we face, isn't it? Although I sometimes challenge people and say, they think that death is the worst thing in the world, when truly it is a natural part of this journey, and we all will face end of life. And so we need to not see it as the enemy, but it is indeed huge grief. And of course, when somebody dies tragically, when you're talking about murders and these horrific ways, it is really, really difficult to accept. It is really difficult to not be caught up in the negative. And, I tell people, we always have a choice. We do not always have the choice we wish we had, but we always have a choice about what we do with the information we receive. So, when you say, for example, you avoid watching the news and, killings and all this, and so do I, because I choose to feel the positive and not the negative, because that's always a choice we have. But of course, sometimes it, just catches you off guard, and I sort of step away and recenter myself and reground myself. But I think an important piece is that I believe we all need to step back and find our foundation, and what do we believe about life and death?
Yeah.
What do you believe? And the thing is that we can choose to believe something that will create a soft landing for ourselves in life and at the end of life. And so for me to be able to do the work I do, and there's always people who are grieving and in crisis that come to me because they've fallen through the cracks, they're waiting for a counselor, they don't, you have counselors and professionals are wonderful, but you maybe have that person for an hour, and then there's the whole rest of the week, and maybe you're having a grief attack on Saturday, and so people reach out to me all the time, so I really need to, be my own light, and I just say, we can feel the positive or feel the negative. We can do what we can do to create a culture of change and to empower people. And I believe with all my heart and soul that what people who know how to show up for themselves and who feel they have value and they matter and they understand how great it is to do random acts of kindness and be good and do good in the world, those people don't hurt others. So wouldn't it be wonderful for us to, fuel that positivity, fuel that if you learn to show up for yourself and others, you will be empowered and you will be resilient and teach people that you are in charge of your own happiness, you have value, and you matter. And surround yourself with, there are people out there, I promise you, who care about you, no matter who you are, no matter how alone you are. And if we continue that wave instead of getting caught up into the negative, we can one life at a time change it. And when I see that someone has been hurt or an animal, I send everybody love, that person and everyone who is grieving, and I just try to stay on the path of fueling the positive and creating the change I want to see in the world. That's the best we can do.
Beautiful that you literally just shared with anybody out there listening right now who doesn't think that they are loved or matter, that you do. And so right now, I just want everybody to hear that. If you're out there thinking that, you do. And for you to be able to stand in that space and that power, there's something that you talk about in the book called your post. And you're using your post to be able to do this. So what is the post, and how do other people find their post?
Yeah, so you're talking about takeaway number six. And
yeah!
So when I do a presentation and online and I have an audio download, which is 30 minutes, which I think the whole world should have, but my culmination of learning in 27 years of nursing and the last 4 years of interviewing literally hundreds of people, they just keep coming to me with their beautiful stories and wisdom. And I'm kind of like a messenger. I said, I don't even need to be smart. I'm great at finding people with phenomenal stories, and they're brilliant. And I just, you know, I share their wisdom, but I came up with seven takeaways, and I believe that they are the key to living life to the fullest, learning to grieve and support others, and to having the talk about end of life and diffusing the fear. So you're referring to takeaway number six, which is find your post and hold on to it. And I got the post idea from beautiful Minnie Boyce, who was 101 at the time. I said, Minnie, you need to share your wisdom with me. I want to, you know, empower the world. We're suffering excessively. We have to grieve, but we don't. I want to remove the excessive suffering, you know, that sort of prevents us from even getting to the grief. We have to acknowledge and allow grief. But our post, and, you know, again, people who are able to hurt others or animals, they don't have a post. And your post is something that you can hang on to no matter what, in times of despair. So when people say, oh, you know, I have my best friend or my dog is always there for me, but people are temporary. Animals are temporary. Whether, you know, people move, relationships change. Change is the only constant, and life is unpredictable. So we need to find something that we can turn to that is permanent or internal. So for some people, that is their religion. Others, it's their spiritual path, or meditation, yoga, music, art, something that you can turn to no matter what in times of despair. And it keeps you connected to something beautiful, wonderful, bigger, greater than you. So for me, it's yoga and nature, and I go for a walk in nature, and I just, you know, I just feel the energy, and I think, okay, I pause and I breathe, and I say, I will get through this grief as I always do, and I'm not alone. You're never alone. We're not alone. We are all connected. We are all connected. So that's the post.
The post is that, yes, an anchor of sort, or post and something. And I love that you highlighted that it's not just about people or a dog, because as you said, they can come and go, whether it's relationships that end, children that, you know, move away to school, divorces, yeah, you know, marriage and stuff. And so that the constant would be if what's inside of you connecting.
Right.
And how I was going to ask you, because you have this, I want to talk about the takeaways, but in, say I've got, I'm scooching around life every day, but I literally have I think what you called it was a death phobia, and I'm actually scared of death, but it's actually that I'm scared of getting old and not being able to just live fully. Like, some people actually avoid that, and that phobia means you're avoiding and scared. You faced that, you were with a lot of people. When those people were in the hospital and you were with them, how do we show up for somebody who is just afraid, even ourselves, just afraid of getting old and dying?
Well, I think that the greatest thing that we can do is listen. listen. Just be present. And, you know, instead, we're compassionate and we're good people. We want to fix everything. And because we're uncomfortable with these conversations, we'd much rather just say, oh, don't be silly. You look great and you're going to live for a long time. And you know, you're going to be fine. And let's stop talking about this. I'm uncomfortable. Just listening and saying, yeah, it must be kind of scary when, you know, you think, wow, you're this age. And what does that feel like? Tell me what scares you the most. You know, are you afraid of pain? Are you afraid to look in the mirror and say, wow, my bags have bags, my wrinkles have wrinkles? What is it? And just letting people explore this. But, you know, I think that the more we talk about things, we can diffuse our own fear, because it's one of the most disempowering things I've ever heard, is staying stuck in fear of something that we can't avoid. You know, I mean, aging is a part of the process. And actually, I do a weekly blog, and my next one is going to be about the fact that I did just turn 53. And isn't it so funny how so many people, like, don't ask your age. It's impolite to ask someone's age.
Yeah,
or we're afraid to say our age. And I think, you know what, I will tell you right now, I have met hundreds of people who have died before their 50th birthday. And I promise you, they would be thrilled to be 53 and have wrinkles and not quite be in the same shape they used to be. So I am honored and grateful to be 53. And we need to reframe this. Like, we need to be, embarrassed that we turned 60, 65, 70. I think we should celebrate it and be grateful. And we just need to do a little reframing and this whole, you know, anti-aging this, anti-aging that, and nip-tuck.
I love that you say reframing it, because you speak about, you really highlight in your book that not even that long ago, I want to say back in the day, but really how much longer is this? Because we would have our grandparents living in the same home, and we would see them age, and we would respect them. And then even when they passed, we didn't, you know, I'm going to say back in the day, you bring them to the front room, which, remember, you talked about that book, and how that becomes like this visitation for those who need that and want that closure to get through that. And now, because we're scurrying away so quick, no, ship them off here and put them in a home there, let somebody else deal with it.
Absolutely.
That's breeding our fear. It's because we don't see it anymore.
That's right. We have sanitized our society.
Yes. I underline that in the book. Sanitized our society.
Yes, brilliant. I got that from Reverend Derek Shelley, and he said, you're so right, because our elders, we don't, you know, they're not revered anymore. We don't see them as our wise elders. They're in the nursing home. And because medical technology keeps people, you know, living in for years and years and years with chronic illnesses that, you know, would have led to their death much earlier. So sometimes they live in homes away from us for years and years, and they're getting sicker and sicker and older and more debilitated. And we're so uncomfortable with seeing that whole process. And, you know, we need to look at it. We need to empower ourselves. And therein again is that whole having the talk before people are facing these things. And in my nursing experience, many people that were maybe older and, you know, they were going to have chemotherapy or go to the intensive care or have surgery, and they would take me to the side and they'd say, oh, I'm so tired of having these blood transfusions or having this chemo. And I'd say, oh, my goodness, I'm begging you, please tell your family. And they'd say, no, you know, they're not ready for me to give up. And that was part of, you know, my fueling of saying, wouldn't it be wonderful to have those conversations long before a diagnosis? So that someone could say, listen, I'm 85. If I, you know, if I'm facing end of life, I don't want to go to have chemo and surgeries and blood transfusions. And I mean, if someone chooses that, that's fine. But have those conversations before all of this arrives, and these, you know, everybody having a different opinion and this person being afraid to voice what they want for their own life. How does that make any sense? You know,
also that conversation, that talk might evolve, because what I may say right now, thinking, oh my gosh, well, I don't want this, da, da, da. If I'm open to, and if I have someone I can talk to about this on a, you know, regular basis and comfortable, I may 3 years, 5 years from now go, you know, no one has to think about it. And there's medical advancements, or there's this or that, or if you promise to come visit me in a home, I'll go. You know? But it allows there to be that flexibility and just awareness of what we could be thinking.
Any of these, when I say the talk, you know, it's like the puberty talk, that isn't a one-time conversation. We've had hundreds of conversations about it, right? And the conversation evolves as you go along. And yes, absolutely. The talk is just, you know, opening that door and allowing for these conversations. And so many people say, oh, mom, I don't want to talk about that. Why are we talking about that now? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to change. Let's normalize these conversations. And to be honest, I believe that these conversations, I'll really make people nervous now. I feel like when you're 18 years old and you go to either get your health card or your driver's license, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just normalized? We can normalize anything in our society. wouldn't it be wonderful? It's like, oh, you know, Mr. Smith, you're 18 now. You don't have a halt card in the U.S., do you? Okay, wait a minute. Your driver's license. Let's do your end of life plan. And are you an organ donor? And bing, 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 who's your power of attorney or who's making your decisions? Okay, great. Let's normalize that. And then, you know, a few years down the road, you are now married. Oh, okay, your wife is going to make those decisions. A few years later, oh, you have children. Let's add them to your will. Mm-hmm. A few years later, oh, you're divorced now. Let's get rid of your wife. No, that's not nice. But anyway, you get the picture, right? Let's just normalize these conversations in every decade so that when it actually arrives, whenever it does,
it's built
we at least have a foundation.
Yes, actually, I think that's a fabulous idea. And I remember the first time that I did go to get my license renewed, it was not on my, you know, when I got my license before. And then it said, just as easy as this, just check out, would you like to be an organ donor? Oh my gosh, Yvonne, I actually freaked out going, okay, I need someone to talk to you because well, if I say no, am I this horrible person that wouldn't donate my organs if I don't need them anyways? But what happens if I'm not really dead and they take them too soon and I could have lived? And I actually put off, I didn't even know what to do with my license because I thought, well, if I have to answer this question before I can't even get it. And I was in fear at that time because I did that. I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't know if anybody else goes through as much as I did there, but I want to just, because we do still have 2 minutes before that commercial, but okay, we sit down and anybody listening right now is like, okay, I want to have the talk with whomever that is. What are the points or the areas of life that you just brought up a few things there, but can you highlight what should we be talking about to prepare? What are we preparing?
Well, first of all, it's so individual, right? And so when people say, oh, I want to have the talk with my dad or with somebody, I always encourage people, have the talk with yourself first, right? What is important to you? What are your values? And, I mean, of course, there's the basic stuff. Would I want to be cremated, natural burial? Would I want to be, you know, would I want my ashes spread all over the place? Or, oh, is that legal? Or do I have to
pretend
I didn't... Or do I have to pretend that that's not what I'm going to do? Or do I want a burial? And so having, you know, everybody has different values. And like I have a friend that has named her pallbearers because that's very important to her. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't want to be pallbearers. So, you know, what would be important to you? And if you go through all that, and I mean, at the back of the book, I kind of have a checklist that kind of helps, you know, people think about certain things. But here's the other things that are important. Do you have a dog?
Before we go into the important things, hold on, because that commercial's going to
commercial. Okay.
But when we come back, those important things, and I'm going to find them at the back of the book while we go.
All right.
Oh, look, I was ahead of time. Hold on. No, I really was ahead of time. I'm good. There he is.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, we timed up beautifully. All right, so we are back here with Yvonne Heath. We're talking about, oh my goodness, from grief to death to living fully. I love the little flow. Right now, honestly, I feel like I want to organize the talk party. You know,
we should have the talk parties. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So we just left before commercial about some of the very important structural things that we want to do. So I'm gonna bring you right back into there, into that point there.
Well, and it's funny because, like you said, many people come up to me, it's like, okay, how do I get my dad to have the talk? And they've got their little pens, and then, or, you know, I'm speaking to people who work with people with developmental disabilities, and how do I get their families to have the talk, et cetera. And my first question always, oh, well, have you had the talk with yourself first? Silence. Everybody puts down their pen. I said, because when you're asking other people to do as you say, not as you do, first of all, you're, you know, not being very authentic, or, I mean, you have to speak from experience. And so when you tell somebody or you want someone to have the talk and you say, well, you know, I've done this in my own life and actually these are the things that I've addressed. And here's the thing, you know, if someone's life is going or someone's death is going to impact you, you kind of have a right to say, you know, mom, dad, whoever, I don't want to have to crack codes and figure out what you would have wanted for your celebration of life. I don't want to argue with my siblings about, you know, what would be important to you. Can we have these conversations ahead of time? And if they say, I don't want to talk about this, I say, well, yeah, I get it. I understand. But this is what I've done in my life. These are the questions I have for you. And I would like, let's get this done. Let's put a time frame on it, the next 6 months or something. But start with yourself. You know, I mean, that's what I've done in my own life. I was a single parent for many years, and I had my wishes written down. I had, you know, my son Tyler, who's now 24, and I'd say, you know, if I die, please make sure Tyler knows how much I love him, and he was the most important thing I've ever done, and, you know, this whole big sob thing, and make sure he lives in Muskoka, Canada, and et cetera, and I spoke to my family about it. And, of course, I married Jordy and my twins at 40. And then my big thing was, you know, I don't want my children separated. So if you have children, if you have a pet, if you have property, if you have, you know, things that you are really important to you, why wouldn't you address them now? I mean, it all makes sense.
The fact that you brought – this is – I love that you said that because I think about, oh, have I had the talk? Because I'm asking myself right now, oh, my God, have I had the talk with myself? And it's funny because the one thing that's the most important thing to me in my life, and I can say this hands down, are my cats. They are my children and my babies. And I can – without even thinking it's a weird conversation, I will absolutely say to my father – I told my father I have provided for my cats. Yes. You know, they have insurance policy, so should I die, they will be taken care of. They will have a roof over the head, vet bills covered, and food, right, and pet
sitters.
That's
right.
And so a lot of people could be uncomfortable because they think, well, I don't want them to ask because am I asking to ask them if they have life insurance policy, money, you know, money, possessions, and what are you leaving me? But it's not about that. And first of all, even if it is about – it does have something to do financially involved, I'm very open to tell the people who it's important to that my cats will be provided for, because I'm not just going to ask somebody to take over my cats and let them think that I'm pushing all these this expense on them, right?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, once again, that's where you can bring Yvonne in, because she will say it, and here's the tough love. It is very selfish not to do your end-of-life plan. Aww. It is very selfish. I'm sorry, everybody, forgive me. To leave someone, to leave this earth, and it's a huge financial burden. My husband and I talk about it all the time and said, if you go first, I am going to grieve in the Bahamas because we have made sure that we each have a life insurance policy that will make sure someone can raise our children, that our mortgage would be paid for, that there is, I don't want to think, you know, I died and my family is not only grieving because they really love me and I'm great, but now there's also this huge financial burden. That's really unfair. And so I had the talk with myself. I've had the talk with my husband. As you know, if you read my book, there's a little bit of a story behind that, but I won't spoil it, of some plagiarism. But anyways, and I've had the talk with my family, whose ever death will impact me and I will have to make some sort of decisions. I wanted to know the answer now. I don't want to have to figure it out then. Are you an organ donor? How do I, you know, even my siblings have spouses who are from other countries. I need to know how to get a hold of people. My goodness. So
yes, the contact, actually that goes into your basket that you made,
yes.
The contact list. I remember that. And to let everybody put this kind of in perspective for them, if you're grieving right now, like you're in the midst of grieving and you're uncomfortable and you're confused, if you were to maybe, you know, it's going to be hard, but have a look and just say, had those things been discussed, had those things been organized and prepared for, would it be just a little bit easier for you? Would it just help you that much more? And if you can recognize that, if that can be what influences you right now to when you're ready, and like you had said, make a timeline, maybe we can do this in 6 months, that you do start doing that. Because I feel like anybody listening and learning these things right now and being, you know, inspired to do so, I feel like we're just quieting down the grief that will happen in time.
Absolutely. And here's a big piece that I must always share with people, because when they read my book, often they feel tremendous guilt about how something in the past was handled, or if someone was,
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, if someone was dying and, you know, they're realizing that maybe they did want them. Don't give up, you know, fight the good fight. Here's the thing. That is what society has taught us to do. And we don't know what we don't know. So if, you know, with anything you read or you follow my blog or you see any of the information and you feel like you didn't show up in the past for someone, if you wish you had done something differently, forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Or give the person, forgive yourself. And the greatest thing you can do now is empower yourself to change in the future or from here on in. Empower yourself, because you only know what what you knew. That's it. You did the best you could. And if you didn't do the best you could, forgive yourself anyway. Right? We often say, oh, you did the best you could. Well, you know what? Sometimes we don't, and we wish we had. So forgive yourself, empower yourself. We can create a culture of change where we don't have to suffer excessively, but grief we have to acknowledge and allow and, you know, learn how to show up for ourselves and each other. And we can truly, it's changed my life so tremendously. It's changed my children's life. They have been a part of this journey. My children, Jaden and Tanner, the twins, Tyler was already living in British Columbia by now, but they have been a part of this journey so that they know how to show up for children around them whose mom has died. And my children can go up and say, I'm just going to hug you, or I'm here for you. Do you want me to, or I'll listen to your story. Or we have a beautiful candle that we light when someone is grieving or someone has died. And they walk into the door, and if that candle's lit, they're, oh, mom, who's grieving or who died?
Aww.
And I say, you know, so-and-so died, and they're just obviously, you know, I've lit this candle for them and for their families. And what's the best thing we could do? We could say, send them love. You know, we just normalize these things, and they're beautiful little souls that are able to be a part of this. And the greatest gift we can give to others is help them to be empowered and create resilience. We can't protect people from grief, but again, we can learn how to just show up for them.
And there's two things. First of all, I said with you just before we started the show, it's so interesting. I usually, like, you know, my usual thing is I have I call it the event room. It's very important to me. It's the room I do the show from. And I feel like it is a big event. And I usually light incense. And, you know, some funky things have happened with my incense burning on some shows. However, today I went and went, no, I need a candle. And I wasn't actually even thinking about that until I went, oh, of course I'm lighting a candle.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yes.
And on that thing about showing up, you have created a movement, a campaign.
Yes.
Can you just talk about that? Because I think that's important for people to hear.
Sure. So when I wrote my book, Love Your Life to Death, to me, I feel like every adult in the world should read it, or, you know, mature teens. then I realized as I was interviewing more people that when it comes to grief, as it shows up throughout life, as I said, failed grades, getting dumped, divorce, diagnosis, mental health addictions, whatever it is, that, of course, affects children and teens and young adults. And I just, you know, it does not matter what the problem is. Any issue that we are facing in life, when we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say, and people are grieving, facing one of life's challenges, whatever it is, stressed, all we need to do is have people just show up. And so we created these bracelets, and it says hashtag I just showed up, and it comes with a little card. And this card, I want to see millions of people wearing these bracelets of all ages. We have little ones for children. And the I just showed up bracelet and the little card that I want people to have, it says, where's a reminder to just show up for yourself first? That's because you have value and you matter. And if you want to be able to be there for other people, you need to show up for yourself first. That is the best version of yourself is the greatest gift you can give the world. The second thing is wear the bracelet because you just showed up for someone and you can always make a difference. And the third thing, if someone has just shown up for you, give them a bracelet to say thank you. And I just think I've given the bracelet to a few people and they were just so thrilled. And then it says, you know, hashtag, I just showed up. And let's continue that conversation. People say, what does that mean? Say, well, you know, my friend was having a hard time. I just took out their garbage and I cut the grass and she was all sad. And thank you so much for helping me. Because those are the little things make a big difference, don't they?
They do. I love that campaign. I love that you've created this movement and that awareness of it and somewhere where people can feel united.
Yes.
The bracelet.
We want to create a community, yes, and our Facebook page. And we want people, that's the thing, right? Like even if you have grief support in that time of crisis, you can have a grief attack 5 years later. And I just want people to have somewhere to go to know it's okay. Acknowledge and allow your grief. And we're here. We will always just show up for you.
And where can they go to show up? Where can they figure out how to show up with you?
Yes. Well, all the information is on our website, which is, of course, www.loveyourlifetodeath.com or ijustshowedup.com. And they're linked. And again, we have our Facebook page, we're on Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera, everywhere. And we do our weekly blog, which is always my imperfect self, sometimes being goofy, sometimes being whatever, just my authentic voice and whatever I'm going through in life. It's funny because I think my very first blog was about my friend Virginia, who had put me in her will to take care of her dog should she die before her dog. And I said, she's provided beautifully for us. We are going on vacation if that happens. So we just, you know, I'm just sharing this because my biggest message is, you know, we just need to allow our humanness. We're our imperfect selves. We're all just learning. But to me, this is a place where we can learn together and learn how to just show up for ourselves and each other. And truly, that's the greatest culture change that I can think of, empowering everyone in life, grief, and death.
I love that, life, grief, and death. And just as I said to everybody, we will be doing the 7 takeaways, but we can also post it if we can do that. I'll pop it up on Facebook. Because I'd love to hear from anybody right now who's going through any of these stages. If you've connected or identified or been inspired, saying, go even to just my Facebook page, Lisa Berry, Berry, and let us know that you've listened to Light on Living, you heard Yvonne Heath, and something happened for you. And if I were to wrap up with the 7 takeaways, that of course we'll could go into more depth if you connect with Yvonne on her website, which is loveyourlifetodeath.com or the ijustshowedup.com. But the 7 here, we know that the best time to talk about and prepare for grief is now. Number one,
yes.
It takes a village because we got to be there for everybody. Number two, when someone's grieving, you just show up. That's our third. To be empowered, resilient, and compassionate, show up for yourself first. That's number four. Number five, structure your life in such a way that you are self-reliant, and so are the people surrounding you. Number six, find your post. And I think everybody should write in a little bit and share either, what is your post? Or make a commitment or a promise to yourself that you're going to figure out what your post is. I would love to hear that actually on Facebook. That would be incredible. And finally, number 7, What will your legacy be? And I love that word, legacy. It sounds fancy and valuable and high quality, and just really recognizing that everybody can leave a legacy because they do matter. And
absolutely.
And we, in our final minute here, first of all, I do, you know, everybody, we want to thank Yvonne because she is helping us to plan our life, plan our death, and show up in that life and everything. And I'm just so happy that you've shared this time. It just flew by like I knew it would.
My goodness, did it ever. I cannot even believe how quickly it flew by. And yes, I will share my message of I encourage anyone, you can get my book on Amazon or my website, but it has truly, the feedback I've received from my book has just been so heartwarming. People have said it changed my life. I've been able to show up at my friend's funeral and speak and things like that. And I sort of tell everybody that if you want to be able to show up for yourself and you want to be able to show up for others, you need to plan your life, plan your death, and then just love your life to death.
Yes.
And always, always bring your own tambourine to the party.
I love that. Oh, wait. And on that note, as we go to commercial, I have my little fun stuff here, my little dinging. And so with that, everybody, we look forward to having you join us each and every time to lighten the load of life's challenges. Thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you so much.
See you on Facebook shortly.
Sounds
okay.
Great.
Bye, Yvonne.
Bye for now. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thank you.